I'm glad you're back. I think it's good to be, to review it. For those of you who've never heard the training before, I welcome you to Holden and welcome you to the staff. The reason we do this is for a couple of reasons. One is that here in Holden, we require all our staff, all our volunteer staff, to help us out as Hose House Volunteers, it's called. And primarily, the reason we need Hose House Volunteers is because the way we would fight a fire here at Holden is that we have hydrants placed around the village, and if we needed to fight a fire, those are where the water would have to come from. But before you can charge a hose line, which I don't know how many of you know about that, but before you charge a hose line, you actually have to be able, it has to be stretched out all the way. So what we need are volunteers to help us out if there's a fire situation and we need to charge those hose lines. We need people to help us stretch them out. So basically, that's what we need your help with. We also need your help with making announcements on the over the PA system if the alarm sounds. Those things are things I'll talk about near the end of this. Those are really important things. They're things I'll be teaching you how to do, and we need your cooperation in. The other thing, though, that we talk about during these sessions is fire safety in the village. And the reason we talk about that are pretty self-evident, I think, but I like to run through it as a reminder. We are very remote, as you all probably were aware as you came up. You know, first you're on a boat, and then you're on a bus, and then you're way up here. And the truth is if we had an emergency, it would be at least 2 hours before anyone could get here, and that's under the very best of circumstances, and that would be getting just a very minimal amount of help here. So in a fire emergency, we are really all we've got, and we have very old structures here. They're all wood structures. Many of them are insulated with very flammable materials, i.e. newspaper or sawdust. So if a building caught on fire here, it would burn incredibly quickly. They're old wood structures and they're very dry. So our best course of action is prevention, and we take that very, very seriously. And so I want to run through what we do to help keep it safe, what you can do to help us do that, and then how to respond if we do have an alarm. So that's what it's sort of about. One of the things I like to point out to people is that Holden is such a wonderful place, and it's such a comfortable, kind of safe place to be, that it gets easy to think that bad things don't happen here. And the truth is, they do sometimes. We've lost some buildings to fire up here. There used to be a chalet too, and now all we have is a, what do you call those? Foundation, thank you. All we have is a foundation there now. That burned down in the late 60s. We had a garage burn down during the 70s. We've had one river sauna burn down. We've had some chimney fires and some other smaller fires that we've been able to handle. But fires can happen up here. There have been some fires that started out in the woods near here that they were able to put out before it made it to the village. But fires do happen. This is a very wet year, thank goodness, but it can burn even in this weather. We've had one smoldering log already, so it's important to keep that in mind. Things happen. So for your information, I do a lot of talking in this. I'll apologize in advance. This is a lot of talk, but it's good information, and I think it's, you know, I haven't figured out a better way, and maybe Tony will. So if you're all back next year, you can see how Tony does it. I'm sure everyone does it differently. First of all, so you know that quite obviously our first priority in case of fire here in the village is human life. And with that in mind, those of us who are trained firefighters focus most of our training around search and rescue, so that if there were a fire in a building, we would be able to go in and get everybody out. That's far more important to us than saving a structure, and would be our first priority. With that in mind, though, we ask for your cooperation in that. It's really important to us that everyone takes full responsibility for knowing how they're going to get out of a building in case of an emergency, and thinks that through in advance and is prepared to do so if there is an alarm. When there's an alarm, it just is essential if it's in your building, and you'll know it's your building. Were any of you in 6 when the alarms went? Okay, those bells are really loud.
Yeah.
You know it's your building. When the bells in your building go, you'll know it's yours. And it's just absolutely essential that you immediately just stop whatever you're doing and leave. If you happen to be in a building where you're working, for instance, if you are in Lodge 6 or in the kitchen or something, turn things off and then walk out the door. But otherwise, don't do anything. If it's nighttime, grab a blanket and wrap up in it, but leave immediately. It's really the most danger we can be in is if we have to go into a smoke-filled building to try to find someone. So it's important to us that you leave immediately if there's an alarm, and that makes everybody a lot safer. With that in mind, we ask y'all to think about where you live, where you work, how you'd leave in an emergency, which way you'd go, which exits are there. Keep all of that in mind and be ready for it. One of the things that a firefighter suggested this year when he was here is that people count the doors between their room and the end of the hallway so they'll know if they end up, if visibility's bad, the lights are out or something like that, so they know that they're getting near the end of the hall. They can count doorways, and that might provide some security in leaving a building. Know how you're going to leave. Of course, if an alarm goes off in your building, feel your door before you open it. If the door is hot, don't go out. Don't open that door. If you open the door and a huge amount of smoke came flying into the room, close it again and stay in your room. We'll come and get you. The way to let us know that you're in there is open up your window, and this was something else I learned this year. A firefighter who was here said, don't tell people to yell because it's noisy. You're not going to be able to hear people who are yelling, or there's a chance that you won't hear it. What people should do is throw things out the window, because we'll see that. If you have to, throw a chair. If things are flying out a window, we'll see it, and we'll come and get you. So don't go into a smoke-filled hallway if it's heavy smoke. If the smoke is very light and you're near the end of the hall and you can see the doorway and everything, go ahead and go. But just leave immediately, and that makes it better for all of us. The other thing to keep in mind is don't panic. Stay quiet. It doesn't help to yell. It's already really loud, and it's not going to help anybody if you're yelling. If there's an alarm in the building you're in and you leave the building, we ask that you, I'll be telling you about going to the hose houses, but if it's a situation like at night where you may not be dressed to be at a hose house or something like that, we do ask, though, that you move away from the building. You'll see searchers and firefighters and myself and the nurse around the building, but we really need those people who live there to move away and be out of the room, way of the site. If it's nighttime and you aren't real well dressed, or it's cold or rainy and you're just in a blanket or something, feel free to go to the hotel dining hall area, and that would be a good place to go until the all clear is sounded. So, but don't come back near the site. That just causes confusion. The other thing, and today was, people did a really good job on it, is when the alarm sounds and you're going to where you need to go, don't run. Today, for instance, I was up at the garage when the siren went. So I sort of jogged down, but I didn't come racing. It was light out, I could see. It's okay to hurry where you're going, but there's no need to run. And, if you're that far out, it's okay to sort of jog yourself in so you're here before it's over. But if you're here in the village, please don't run for a couple reasons. One is it really scares people. The guests who may be unaware of what's going on are going to be pretty frightened by that, by people racing around and looking like it's a panicky situation, because it's not panicky. You can walk quickly and get there. A person who was fire chief here in the 70s, I think, or maybe in the early 80s, was telling me that when he was here, a fire had started down near the fire pit. Have you been on the nature trail? There's a fire pit down there, and a fire had started down there, and he, somebody saw the smoke and had pulled the alarm, and the alarm went and people saw the smoke and people started running around, and in the course of that evening, three people got hurt, and none of them got hurt because of the fire. They got hurt because, one person fell in one of the ditches as they came running down the hill, and somebody else you know, people just fell down and tripped and sprained ankles and got hurt. So it doesn't help to run. You don't get there that much faster. The village isn't that big. So please walk quickly, but be safe. It's really important. We don't need any more emergencies on our hands than the alarms. So keep safe. And we can't keep you safe in those situations. So take responsibility for yourself on that. With that in mind, with those things in mind, we do have pretty heavy-duty prevention measures here in the village. As you know, there's smoking allowed only on the porches and on the patio, and only on the porches where there's a butt can. Somebody today was telling me they saw a bunch of cigarette butts out behind Narnia on the back porch, and there were also some snack bar dishes and stuff. So it looks like a place people go, you know, to relax and visit. There isn't a can back there. The reason is because that's such an invisible spot. If something started to smolder back there, we're afraid that nobody'd see it until the building was involved. So we don't allow smoking on that porch. So that's just one way to keep in mind. Look for the butt cans. Don't smoke where there isn't a butt can. That's how you know it's okay. And we enforce that strongly, as I was saying last night during the meeting. We don't mess around with smoking. You also aren't allowed to smoke anywhere on the roads or on the trails near in and around the village. And that's just one of those things that I think can be an easy one for people not to be aware of. So I ask that the staff help me with that one. I think when guests come in and they're told smoking only on porches and patios, somehow they don't think that means they can't smoke on the road or they can't smoke on the trail. The reason we don't allow it is because those are places where something being an ash being dropped or sparks flying off could catch and smolder for quite a long time before anyone saw it and could really involve some stuff. Earlier this year, someone had probably just, all we could figure out is probably put a cigarette butt out against the stump of a tree and it smoldered. It was found probably hours later, still smoldering. And you know, luckily someone found it and could deal with it while it was small, but we could, something like that can get real major. And so that's why we don't allow it. If you see somebody smoking in a place like that, please tell them not to. Remind them that that isn't an all right spot. And, you know, let me know if that feels uncomfortable, if you feel really weird doing that. I don't think you have to do it, and you don't have to be mean about it, because I think often people just don't know, but just remind them. So everybody's sure they aren't the one that's going to burn the forest down, but forests get burned down, so we're pretty serious about that. No open flame, except during worship services and any special events, and I'll okay those. Just talk to me if you need to do that. The other thing we're asking is that if you're going to have a campfire, either down by the fire pit down here or out at the teepee, is that you check with me on it. It's always okay, but I just like to know that it's going on, so that if we smell smoke in the village, we know what it's from, and also so that, you know, I can wander by the next day and be sure it's out. The one thing I'll be asking you to do is taking one of the 5-gallon squares out of the kitchen so that you can be sure it's doused completely with water. Earlier this year, some people had one and just covered it with dirt and it didn't go out, so we're going to switch to using water every time so that we're sure they're really out. The detection systems. You're going to hear alarms while you're here. Probably everyone here has heard one now. So you're going to hear them. They do happen, and the reason is we have a pretty sensitive detection system. And so sometimes they happen for reasons that aren't fire-related or smoke-related. Although most of our alarms do have a cause or a reason that has to do with something going on in the air. If it's a local alarm, you'll hear it. The bells are going to be really loud and right there, and they're bells, and you'll hear them, and if you hear a bell, you need to get out of the building immediately. The other alarm you'll hear is the one you've probably all heard too, the siren off the roof of the hotel. It sounds like a police siren or right near the end, if Eric's the one who turns it off for me, it sounds like a yelp. But that's what you're going to hear. What that does is it calls all of us into action on either being a hose house volunteer or the fire department. So those are the things that you're going to hear out in the village. You'll also hear some bells that are ringing on top of the hotel. Oh, the other things you'll hear, if you happen to be in the pool hall, has anybody been in the pool hall yet when the alarm went? Who was? Was that incredibly loud? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we put that buzzer in last winter because I like to bowl during the winter. And I wanted to be sure I could hear the alarm. And it's really loud. So if you're in the basement of the VC, you'll hear a buzzer down there if the alarm goes. If you're in the dining hall, amazingly enough, because the siren's on the roof, you don't hear the siren very well in the dining hall. So above the silver counter, there's a white box, wooden box up on the wall. There are yellow lights on it and red lights. And if the yellow lights flash and it buzzes once, that means the police are trying to call us on the police radio. So we don't need to worry about that. If the buzzer continues to go, if it goes and the red lights are flashing, that means it's a fire alarm. So you need to go. So for those of you who are waitry or work in the kitchen, you're more likely to hear that than the siren when the alarm goes off. So those are the way you're going to hear them. Also in the VC, when there's an alarm in the VC, upstairs there's a light on the end of the building that and the end of the hall that will flash red, and that will let you know that the siren's going to. Speaking of the VC, that's one thing I try to remind people about. An alarm in the VC is sort of a nightmare, especially if it would happen during Vespers when we had 450 people in there. If there's an alarm and it's in that building, if it isn't in that building, the red light will flash, but you won't hear bells in the building, and you know the staff will get up and leave and come and respond to the alarm. If it's a bell in the building, I really ask for everyone's cooperation in not rushing for the doors, in just really helping people who need help getting out, people who have kids, people who are older, being sure that guests aren't getting, you know, shoved out of the way as people run around. We'll empty the room much more quickly if people don't push or rush. And so as staff, please keep that in mind when you hear it. I know that the first sensation is one of adrenaline. It's a big rush, but if you can just stay calm, it'll really help, because I'd be really worried about getting that many people. We only have 4 exits out of that room. Yeah.
In addition to the main 2 exits, does the back wall have?
Yeah. There's on this wall, there's a sign, and it's got an exit sign over it, and those steps lead out the back of the building. So there are 3 ways out. So people can go any of those 3 ways. And a firefighter would step to the microphone and point those out. And then, so if you can help people do that, I'd really appreciate it. We have never had that happen, so we'll hope we don't. Just so you know what's here in the village, we have smoke detectors. Some of them look like the one right up there. Some of them kind of hang down further and are in the hallways. Those are set off by smoke, dust, or they can be set off by steam. And that's important to know, because if you ever take a shower and forget to turn on the fan and open the door to the hallway too quickly, steam can hit that smoke detector and you'll be the one standing on the porch with dripping wet hair. And everybody say, "You must have done it." So remember to turn your fans on when you shower. And if you forget, turn them on before you open the door so that that can dissipate a little bit. The heat detectors are, there's a silver one up in that corner. That's silver globe. There are many that are gold. Most of them look like that, sort of that half globe shape. Those are called rate of rise detectors. Those are set off by a sudden change in temperature, as well as if it hits, even if gradually it became very hot, when it hits a certain rate, it will go off. Those are important for those of you who are carpenters or people who do maintenance work around the village. Those can be set off. It's the change that sets them off frequently. And for instance, this year I had somebody working up in 7 and they needed to move one of them because they were doing something, and they put their hand over it to unscrew it, and that's enough change in temperature to set it off. So if you work around them and they need to be moved or things like that, let me know and I'll come and do that. I'll come and turn the system off and move them for you, because those are things that can happen. The other thing that sets them off are pull boxes. As those of you who are here the other evening may know, that was set off because somebody bumped a pull box. Those you'll find on the porches of pretty much every building has them on the porch. This one isn't on the outside porch, it's just on the inside of the door here in Koinonia. The pull boxes are on the inside of the door. Those are to be used if you see any sign of fire and the alarm isn't already sounding. Or for an extreme medical emergency, we ask that you only use them for extreme medical emergencies if it's life-threatening, if someone is not breathing or is having heart trouble or something like that where we need people just like that and it's a matter of life and death. The nurse asks that we not use it for anything that is less major than that. And the primary reason is for the person who's hurt. It's really embarrassing, I think, for some people to have a lot of people show up and all come stand around, and that's what's going to happen if the alarm gets pulled, because the whole village is going to show up. So even a really, you know, a hurt, you know, a badly bumped head or something like that, send somebody to go get the nurse. She'll get her just as fast. But if it is an extreme emergency, someone's really been injured seriously, go ahead and maybe, you know, if you're up at the garage or somewhere and you're alone, feel free to pull that alarm, because one of the first people who responds is always the nurse. The nurse comes with us so that if it is a medical emergency, we can respond quickly. So that's what those are for. If you ever see fire sign and you pull that alarm, stick around. We don't want to waste time looking for what you already found. Stay near the doorway. Let us know that you're the one who pulled it and why you pulled it so that we can get there quickly and efficiently. That includes if you ever do it by accident, so we know what we're looking for, so we know what happened. The other thing that will set off an alarm in the village are the sprinkler systems. We have sprinkler systems in all the buildings in the village that house very many people, along with the buildings that we use for the VC and the hotel and all those buildings. They are set off by temperature. They can also be set off if somebody broke one of them, but they're a temperature device. So if it hits a certain temperature in a room, those will go off. They'll also set off an alarm in the village. So that's what we've got here in the village. So let's see. I'm going to run through one other part and talk about how to do something, and then I'll have time for questions before we move on to how to respond at the hose houses and at the main panel. So thanks for bearing with me. In a fire emergency, if you see smoke or if you see fire, the very first thing you need to do is pull an alarm. Before you do anything else, pull an alarm. We want to muster the fire department because we need to show up no matter what. If after you've pulled the alarm, you take a look at that fire and it's very small. For instance, you're in the shop working and a spark has gotten into some sawdust and, you know, it's smoldering right there. If you're comfortable with it and you feel safe with it, you can go ahead and use an extinguisher. The extinguishers are found throughout the village. The silver ones that you see on the porches of all the buildings, the big ones, those have water in them, but it's water mixed with antifreeze because they're left out year-round. So they aren't playthings, they're antifreeze, so they aren't very pleasant. You wouldn't want to get them on you. But those are water, so those can be used on pretty much anything that might catch on fire on a porch, a couch, a chair, you know, a wood rail, I don't know, you know, something on a porch that might catch on fire could be extinguished with that. All the other extinguishers and the majority of extinguishers in the village are red ones and look like this, and they vary in size. These are ABC extinguishers. They can be used on absolutely anything, electrical, liquid, anything, and wood or paper. So these are really a safe bet if you're not sure what's burning, because these will put anything out. The way you use, have any of you ever used an extinguisher? A few of you, okay, good. The way you use extinguishers is they're all basically the same. They have a pin, a round pin like this, that's stuck in or being held in by a plastic tag that's easily breakable. You grab the pin, you pull it out. At that point, it's ready to go. So you aim at the base of the fire and spray back and forth. Don't try and put out a fire that's big, and if it isn't confined, they say huggable, which means about this big around. If it's bigger than that, you don't need to be there. I don't want anybody to do it who isn't comfortable doing it. We'd be there very quickly. So if you pull that, if you see a fire and it makes you at all uncomfortable, just pull the alarm and get out on the front porch so that we know where to go and we can deal with it when we get there. If, however, it's very confined and you're comfortable giving it a spray, go ahead. We'll come in and clean up after you and figure out what's going on. So that's really up to you, what you're comfortable with, what you feel safe doing. I really don't want anybody fighting a fire in a very enclosed space, any place that's very smoky. One thing to remember, especially with those water ones, is that as soon as you put water on that fire, you're going to have a lot more. The steam is going to mix with the smoke, and it's going to get a lot thicker really quickly. So you don't want to be in a confined room. Be sure you're standing in the doorway so you can just back out if you need to. Common sense, I think. If you work in the kitchen, there are special devices above the stoves that will kick on themselves, or there are automatic, or there are manual ways to turn them on. If you work in the kitchen, you should have had those explained to you. If you haven't yet, let me know and I'll talk to you about them. The only other thing that you might use, and the only place in the summer you ever would use these, is at the River Sauna, because that's the only place we have a wood stove that's running. These are called, they're chimfexes. They're really nifty. They're in case of chimney fire. Have any of you been around a chimney fire before? A couple of you? Okay, one of the main things to remember about a chimney fire is don't use water on them. The water would expand really quickly and you'd have an explosive sort of situation. So don't use water. If there's a chimney fire, pull the alarm. You'll know there's a chimney fire in one of two ways. I've never been in a house during a chimney fire, but I've seen one from the outside. From the outside, what happens is you see flames coming out of the top of the chimney. That's simple as that. You'll see the flame coming out the top. If you're inside, I've heard that you'll hear a roaring sound. The chimney's pulling all the oxygen in, so it makes a big noise. I've also heard that the stovepipe often turns red hot. So, you know, you actually can see the heat in the stovepipe. So if there's a chimney fire, what to do? Pull an alarm. If you're comfortable again, what you can do is use a chimfex. These are just handy-dandy things. The way they work is you just pull this tag right here, and the paper will come off the top, and there's a little square top, and you just unscrew it, take it off, and this will end up looking like a great big matchstick. And it just looks like a giant match. And the top of the thing you screwed off has a striking head on it. So you take it and you strike it. It will fizz sort of like a flare or a sparkler. Sort of it's that kind of flame that you'll see. You open the door to the furnace, you toss it in, and then you just close it. Close the door, close the vents, close everything. The way this works is it pulls all the oxygen out. And so it's enough usually to knock down the fire in the chimney, so at least the fire in the chimney will go out and we can then come in and clean it up and be sure it's all taken care of. I'm not real worried about the chimney out at the River Sauna. It's got a double chimney and it's pretty safe. So it's a big old furnace, but it's, I think, real safe, so I'm not real worried about it, but that's how to use one of these. Out at the River Sauna, this is kept in the women's restroom or changing room right inside the door about that level, so on some of the hooks. So if there's a chimney fire, you can do that. All right. Are there any questions at this point? Yeah.
The talking that was going on, like, what is that?
I'm going to show you how to do that next.
Couldn't understand.
Couldn't you?
Saying, really.
Okay.
Like,
okay, we'll talk about that because it is hard. It's not a very good speaker. that we've got, so it's real important to enunciate. So I didn't even hear it today because I was on my way down and somebody told me, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
You mentioned that if there are fire in our building to grab a blanket or something and go to the dining hall, suppose we're on the fire team, do we take time to grab clothes to dress?
No. If it's in your building, just leave and you won't be on the fire squad that night. If you happen to still be dressed, great, you can go and do it. But if you don't have, you can slide on a pair of slippers or shoes or something like that, but it's real important that you get out of the building quickly if the alarm's in your building.
Do you knock on any doors on the way?
Yeah, that'd be a great thing to do. Just hit every door on your way by and keep going. So, yeah.
After the use of using the river sauna, how does it let it keep on burning, or are we supposed to?
If nobody's there and it looks like nobody's going to be there, it's pretty late, just close all the air vents and so it'll burn down.
Okay.
But yeah, you don't have to put it out. Yeah. Good question. But anything else? All right. We will move on to what to do when that alarm goes off. If the alarm goes off, first of all, we never have drills. So if you hear the siren, something has triggered the alarm. So we need to respond completely, and we will, every time that alarm goes off. So never just say, I don't have to go, or I don't feel like going right now. We need you. Every time that alarm goes, we need you there. So, and I think with the weather being like it is, one thing I'll warn you about that can happen is if we have a lightning storm, that sometimes triggers an alarm. And I've learned, I think, how to prevent the false alarms during a lightning storm. But it can happen that we have several strikes near the village and that'll actually trigger the alarm. And one day last spring, or last summer, we had 3 in a half an hour. So it was pretty crazy. You kind of just felt like you were running from building to building. It was pretty nuts. And I think I've found a way to prevent that, but I'm not sure I have. But even in a situation like that, where you start to feel like, geez, it's just the lightning, the truth is if lightning is striking that close to the village, we could very well have something struck. So we need to respond every time, even if it feels repetitious, because any one of those could be a real strike. So just, if we have a couple in a row, don't think that it's no big deal. The other thing that has happened in the past is that there'll be an alarm in a building earlier in the day, and then later in the day it'll happen again, and people will think, it's just some, detector acting up. The truth is, those are what scare me most, because I think maybe there was a fire in a wall or something like that that we just missed, and that it's now, gotten bigger. So be sure and respond every time. We need you every time. So if one of the things I ask everybody to do is put together what you want to wear to a fire alarm at night and keep it near your door. We don't have a lot of alarms during the night, but they happen. And it's really helpful if you have, I just keep a pair of sweats, sweats and a sweatshirt, and a jacket with a flashlight in the pocket right by the door, so that if the alarm goes during the night, I can just jump up and put those on. It's really important that you wake your neighbors up. In a lot of these buildings, it's not that easy to hear the alarm. I know that in 6, especially the people who are on the side toward the creek, often don't hear it. And so they all, just run down the hall and knock on all the doors and be sure everybody wakes up. Be sure everybody's coming, because we need everybody, especially at night. If it's during the day, there are some areas that you won't hear it as soon. One of the things people often ask about is, why do we let the siren run so long? And part of it is that there are a lot of places in the village where, depending on the wind and all sorts of things that I've not even figured out, it's hard to hear the alarm. And so, for instance, even just in these offices upstairs, they sometimes don't hear them until it's been going for a while. It just sort of blends in to sort of the background noise. So you run it a long time so that if you finally hear it and you come outside, you still can find out what's going on. So we run that siren until we know what's happening generally. Usually what you're going to hear is all clear when the site, when, you know, we've finished our searches and we know what set off the alarm and everything's fine, we'll signal an all clear and you can go home. What may happen and has happened a couple of times this year is we've had situations where we either had to do further inspecting or we actually had some fire sign and we needed to deal with it. There does come a time where having that siren running anymore isn't helpful. It's just noisy. And what we may do at that point is have an announcement made that says, stand by. And we'll ask then that you stay at the hose houses until you hear the all clear. Stand by just means stay where you are. But we are going to turn off the siren because it's not helpful to have that much noise. So, you know, those are the two things you'll hear. So listen for both. So the alarm goes off, and we're all sitting in here, for instance. The first thing we'd do is we'd all get up and very calmly walk toward the door. The first two people who got out in the hallway would be right next to a big panel that you've probably all noticed. It's a big black panel. That's called the Simplex. And the first two people who got there would become the announcer and the announcer's backup person. And I will take you out there and show it to you. But what you'll see there is there'll be a light shining on it because that goes on when the alarm goes off. A light will flash onto it. And somewhere on that panel will be a red flashing light. And on the same module where the red flashing light is will be a letter. And that's going to be the way, and then there's a sheet to the side with the letters and the names of the buildings. That's going to let you know where the signal is coming from. And so I'll take you out, I'll show you how to do it, but that's what the first two people are going to do is go to the Simplex and they're going to become the announcers so that they can announce where the alarm is. Everyone else is going to head out for where they say that you need to go for hose houses. Let's just say that the alarm is sounding for the hotel. And so if the alarm were sounding for the hotel, the person who was announcing would be saying, searchers check hotel, primary hose house hotel, secondary hose house agape. So what you would do is head across the street to the hotel hose house, and I'll point out all the hose houses to you after we're done in here. But you go across the street, and you'd, if you were the first person there, you'd walk up to the hotel hose house, you'd open the door and say one, and the next person would say two. And three, and four, and you'd count on out until you had 20 people in that line. Once there were 20 people there, say I came running up and the person said, I'm 20, I'd head on up to the Agape hose house. If I was the first person there, I'd open the door and say one, and you'd count off until you had 20. If you got to the Agape hose house, which is the secondary hose house, they already had 20. There were obviously already 20 people at the hotel hose house. What we would like you to do in any fire emergency, if the hose houses have all the people they need, is that you come down to the dock outside the hotel and wait there. We have needed in the past to have extra volunteers to do things like bring extra hose or maybe to start another hose house. There are times when we need more volunteers for what we're doing. And so if our staff members are all right there, we know who we've got to ask for help. So we ask you all to go there. You'll stay there until you hear an all clear, or a firefighter comes over to you and says, we need to roll the hose. If the hose needs to be rolled, a firefighter will come and take the nozzle and start walking away from the building. Another firefighter will be standing there, and as soon as the person gets a certain distance, about 10 feet away, they'll ask you to take it, and you'll start walking. And you'll all just keep walking and grabbing hose like that until you get it all the way stretched out so that we can charge it. Until we get ready to charge it, we will probably ask you to stay there and hold the hose. The reason for that is it's hard on hoses to get dirty. And so if we're not going to end up using it, we'd rather not have it get dirty. So we're going to have you stand there and hold it. If we do need to charge it, we'll ask you to set it down. We'll have you go back to the hose house and wait there. We won't ask you to go near a building that's burning. We won't ask you to help fight a fire. Those are the things we need help with. If we roll a hose and we ask you to stand and hold it, if they sound the all clear, we'd ask that you stay there with the hose. It's so much easier to get that hose back into the hose house if we can just feed it in gradually as people carry it back. And so just stick around till we're done, and we'll let you know when we're done with that. But that's what we need you for. It's not not real complicated. Are there any questions? I realize that, you know, I've left some stuff open-ended about in the hallway. I might talk through that just because it's going to be hard to see when we get out there. I'm going to go back to that.
Now, if there weren't, like, people on staff in here, you said the first two people out there.
Right.
If there weren't two people on staff, should you, like, check if that announcement isn't being made?
Right. Head this direction until you hear an announcement. If you don't hear an announcement, you know, you come out of the door and it's nighttime or whatever, and all you're hearing is that siren over and over again, head this way. That means nobody's making the announcement yet. Yeah, so head this way. When you get here and you see, you can locate where the alarm is, you can locate where the primary and secondary hose house are. I'll show you how to do that on the board. What you do is you pick up, there's a microphone there that's hooked up against the side of the panel, and you pick it up and you push in the button and you start making the announcement. And you will say, searchers check, hotel, primary hose house, hotel, secondary hose house, Agape. Searchers check, hotel, primary hose house, hotel, secondary hose house, Agape. And then you say it one more time. You say it three times. And as you mentioned, it's hard to understand people talking over that. So it's important to remember to speak very slowly and to speak as clearly as you possibly can and directly into the microphone, because people aren't going to be able to hear it. As soon as you push the button in on the side so that you can talk, the siren stops. The bells continue to ring, but the siren will stop. So you make your announcement three times, then you let go of the button, and the siren will start again. And let it go about 15 seconds. You know, let that siren really run for a minute or two, not a minute, about 15 seconds. Let it really go again, and then push in the button and repeat it. If you get tired of doing it, you can switch off and let the other person do it for a while. It's kind of a funny thing. There are some people who just would rather die than have to make the announcement, and they just don't ever want to be the person who's near the panel when it happens. And other people race for the panel because they want to be the one who finally gets to make the announcement. So it's kind of funny. One question that often gets asked and is a pretty good one is, what if the fire is here? If you came into the building and I think it's V, but it would be a way to check. You came in and you saw that red flashing light and you looked over to check the code and it said Koinonia. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm standing in a burning building. Well, I guess I'm going to leave that up to you and your comfort level. If there's no smoke and you're not, you know, seeing any sign of an emergency right here by the doorway, go ahead and start announcing. All of the searchers and firefighters are going to come to this front door as they come in, and at that point we'll take the microphone from you. But you can go ahead and announce, or if you say, I really do want to do this, they'll probably let you keep announcing. If there's smoke or any kind of fire sign, even if it's not there and you saw it on the porch or, you know, from one of the windows over there, don't come in the building. Please don't enter the building. Stay out. Because what will happen is everybody will keep coming this way because nobody's making an announcement. So people will keep coming this direction and we can go grab a bullhorn and we can make announcements. So that's really one of those comfort level things. If you're not seeing any fire sign or smelling anything and you're comfortable with it, you can go ahead and start to announce. But if we found anything, we would probably get you, even if you wanted to keep announcing, we wouldn't let you. Yeah.
When you get to the primary and secondary hose house, and if you're one of those 20, say you're the first one, do you wait to start rolling hose out until someone
Yeah, don't roll hose until a firefighter comes and helps you do it.
Stand there and don't do anything.
You just stand there and don't do anything. You stand there and talk about what you were doing before the alarm went off. Or how hard it was to find your clothes this time. We hadn't had a nighttime alarm for months. Oh, I have to tell this story. Do any of you know who Sven Westlund is? Have you seen who he is? He's quite staid, proper person. a wonderful person and has a good sense of humor, but comes off as pretty staid. Well, this winter we had a 3 a.m. alarm in the VC. And so, you know, people just got out of bed in the middle of the night, and, you know, you sort of pull on your boots and your hats and everything, and you go running out the door. And the next morning, Sven came up to me and he said, "Did you hear how I came to your alarm last night?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I came out my door and there I heard him say it was in the VC." So he jumped on a sled and rode all the way down the hill on the sled and jumped off because the primary host house was lower. So he just came, and I guess he almost hit Scott Hosser on his way by. He was coming out of the building. It was just hilarious. That's the best image to me of Sven sledding down the hill at breakneck speed. At that point, I thought I should give him his own siren, you know. Let Sven lead the way. So, but the one thing, and this is sort of the other side of that. It is funny when you're standing in the line to sort of talk about what you were doing or whatever. The other thing, though, is it is serious, and it's not a time to be messing around. We did have a fire on a roof this winter, and I know some of the people standing in the hose house lines probably out of nervousness and I think just not thinking. We're making some jokes about, geez, you know, wonder how much water damage they can do and things like that. Well, for the people who live in the house, that's not very funny. And so keep in mind that it's pretty scary for people who are around a building, and be sensitive too to their people who've lived through fires and have pretty scary traumatic memories. So it's important to be sort of sensitive to that there are going to be people who are much more frightened about it than we might be, and that keep that in mind, just so nobody's there isn't concern shown for that. If there aren't any more questions I can answer in here, what I'd like to do is take y'all out and show you the panel, and how to do that, and then we'll walk across the street, I'll show you a hose house, I'll point out where the other ones are, and then we'll be done if there aren't more questions. The one thing is, where did the sign-in sheet go?
Right.
Has everyone signed it?
I haven't.
Okay. If you could sign it before you come out in the hall, just so I'm sure everybody's got it, and it can just be left in here and I'll get it later, but let's all come out in the hall and